Good afternoon and welcome to this episode of the Full Press NFL Podcast. Terrence Biggs with me as always. He is the managing editor of FPC Chiefs, also the social media manager for all things full press coverage. Braden Holacek. What's going on, Braden?
Oh, not too much. Terrence doing really well. We got the combine in the books. Free agency continues to get closer and closer. And obviously, we just kind of got the news. I know we're going to get to some news and notes here in a second, but Jason Kelce officially announcing his retirement. Just one of the probably better offensive linemen I've ever seen in my lifetime. Very instinctive, but obviously tough. Very smart. So just wanted to kind of on this podcast give my congratulations to Jason Kelce on a great career.
He had a long career, and what I like most is the fact that yes, he became famous in the last few years of his career, but from all indications, from what you read, from what you hear, he stayed the same person. Like just funny, happy-go-lucky guy. When the Eagles won the Super Bowl and he showed up to the parade in like all that green outfit, that's him. Like he had a few adult beverages, but he was still himself and he stayed true to himself. Like he never let fame like be a thing, and now he just from what he gets to go home and be a dad. Just gets to go home and enjoy the rest of his life. Made a ton of dough. He didn't hang on for too long. Perhaps like he is one of the best centers of this era, maybe the best center of this era, and one of the top 10 centers of all time. And just like you said, smart, good feet, excellent blocker, could pull, just protect this quarterback and make sure the offensive line understood the assignment. As we take a switch to it, Mike Evans has signed a 2-year deal with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 2 years, $52 million. Two-part question for you. Were you surprised he went back? And two, do you think he wasted his chance at going to play for a winner?
I guess first off, I'm not really 100% surprised he went back. I think just seemed to kind of be some mutual, kind of respect there of him wanting to kind of possibly finish his entire career in Tampa Bay. So I think that's probably where it seemed like he wanted to be. The more and more you look at this announcement, I don't know if he really missed. I guess I wouldn't consider Tampa Bay a major contender, but I think there's very few options that would have legitimately been able to land him in a deal like that. So I guess I don't know if he missed out on a lot of true contenders. I think you could have saw someone like with a rookie quarterback that still has some ways to go, making the more aggressive push at him from a deal wise. So I guess to answer your question, I don't know if he necessarily missed it completely, but just seemed like he wanted to kind of play his entire career in Tampa Bay.
And to me, that's actually noble, and it's actually loyalty is rare in this league. Now, that spins to the question of do they throw a bunch of money at Baker Mayfield or do they go elsewhere?
Yeah, I think they're going to probably try to land Baker Mayfield, bring him back. The really interesting thing I think in this situation is you don't really have a lot of contract comparisons to really look at. I think Geno Smith's maybe a really good example, but Baker's a lot younger than Geno was when he got his deal last year. As far as a guy that just kind of was a journeyman looking for a bounce back and really kind of overtaking a team and revitalizing the locker room. So I don't think there's a lot of comparisons. I think the per year money will be really interesting to watch for Baker. It looks like Falcons have some interest if they're not able to land Kirk Cousins or Tampa Bay swings and misses here. So I think Tampa Bay will try their hardest to bring him back though.
Now, staying on that free agency spot, we have the Carolina Panthers said that they won't try to extend or have contract talks with edge rusher Brian Burns as far as in going into the season. Is this a big mistake? And are the Panthers really the worst run franchise in the NFL right now?
I think it would be a huge mistake. I think first off, you look at just the reported trade packages that they've rejected for Brian Burns over the last couple few years. I think one of them, you could have potentially had first round pick and maybe another top 100 pick. There was also some reports about the Rams trying to maybe offer two first round picks at the deadline a couple years ago. So it's just kind of weird to see them reject those offers, and in need of kind of a stabilizer on this defense, someone you can look to lead the group. It's kind of weird to see how Carolina's pivoted. They've, seemed like they've maybe talked about an extension for a while. He held out of training camp last year. Nothing obviously materialized, but it just seems like a surprising spot I did not expect Carolina to take here. And yeah, I think there's a lot of teams with his age and his production, and just kind of his traits that stand out the most. Kind of a rare mix of speed and power off the edge. I think there's going to be a lot of teams that'll be willing to pay up for Brian Burns if he becomes available.
What I find wild about this entire thing is that the Panthers offered 2 first-round picks last year for Burns, and they turned him down. They turned the team down. They offered few teams offered him 1st-round picks. Now they're willing to let the man walk away for nothing, for zero. And when I look at David Tepper, I look at somebody who has no idea what he's doing. Just he's clueless. He makes Mark Davis look like Bill Belichick. It is wild to watch. Speaking of just wild moves, the Dolphins are going to let defensive tackle Christian Wilkins test free agency. When you look at Christian Wilkins and his production and the fact that he is entering his prime, another two-part question: who would make a good fit, and what would be a reasonable contract?
Yeah, I actually kind of look at the Cincinnati Bengals as being a really good fit. I'm going to kind of stay away from salary cap stuff for them before they kind of make all their moves. But you have DJ Reader, who's been a pretty good veteran, but dealt with some injuries. So you kind of have him as a free agent that you might have to replace. And outside of him, it's not a lot of star power there. So Cincinnati is one team I would look at. I think you could also maybe look at a team kind of in the NFC West that really intrigues me, in the Seattle Seahawks. There's been some D tackles kind of mocked to them in the first round of mock drafts. But I think if you could get a proven guy like that, even if you bring back Leonard Williams, you have kind of a good balance there of maybe some veterans and some younger guys on that Seattle D line. Of course, a new regime under Mike McDonald. So those are a couple spots that if I were fans of those teams, I wish that my team would be kind of aggressive in trying to go after him. As far as contract goes, I could easily see anywhere from 20 to 23 million a season. I think you look at some of the D tackle contracts we got last year: Dexter Lawrence, Daron Payne, Quinnen Williams, some of those guys. I think he's probably going to try to be right in that ballpark of probably the low 20s per season.
I agree. I see that for his contract and as far as teams. I want to throw the Chargers into it just for the simple fact that they're going to have to get way under the cap and make a lot of trades and get a lot of money off the negative. You have an edge rusher in Bosa. You have Khalil Mack, who they're looking to move. Bosa needs some help on the interior. That might be an option. I know whenever we mention a defensive line free agent, I always mention the Cowboys. When you have Micah Parsons, he is by himself. He has nothing. He has no one to help. It is not coming for him. He needs something else. And like you said, the Seahawks. I would say the Cardinals, but I don't know what they want to do out there. The Cardinals are one of those mystery teams where they seem like they have a decent coach going forward, but what's their plan? And that's, it's tough to assess a free agent when you're not sure what the direction of the team that possibly could be a suitor is. But after this break, we're going to discuss what we
Yes.
liked in combine and kind of who stood out. But that's after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Full Press NFL podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with the Full Press NFL podcast. Terrence Biggs, Braden Holacek. Braden, who stood out to you at the combine?
Yeah, I feel like I'm someone that's always going to gravitate more towards wide receivers. Of course, Xavier Worthy from Texas. He sets a new 40-yard dash combine record with 4.21 seconds, just narrowly edging out John Ross from a handful of years ago. I think for Worthy, he's been kind of a polarizing prospect of the wide receivers, but I think as far as the NFL goes and their view of him, I think this weekend's results will only help his case further. I think he was kind of a fringe first-round pick in my mind, but I think he could have maybe even moved up close to top 20, top 25, just from this performance alone. And I think just with the potential he has for today's style of NFL, winning after the catch and running away from guys in the open field. But I'll stick with wide receivers real quick. I think another one that's, I guess, a top name that maybe reaffirmed some of the high belief in him. Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU, you saw how much of a vertical threat he was on tape at LSU, but I don't know if I really anticipated him testing that well, a 1.50 10-yard split. He had the second best, I believe, 40-yard dash time for wide receivers at 4.33 seconds. So you look at his size, but having that speed factor in the back of your pocket, I know it's not the same as wearing pads, but again, that just kind of for me reaffirms his probably status as a consensus top four wide receiver. I think some under the radar names that really stood out. Luke McCaffrey, kind of a just quirky thing of him beating out his brother Christian McCaffrey with some of his testing results. He's a guy that I'm really, really going to be intrigued by as we get deeper into the draft process here and get closer to the actual selections from Rice. And then I think kind of an underrated name that you don't really necessarily always think about is Ricky Pearsall from Florida. I don't think he's going to be considered obviously a wide receiver one or a wide receiver two even right away in the NFL. I think he's going to have some kind of defined role maybe in the slot, trying to have these condensed routes in certain offenses depending where he goes. But the explosive testing, vertical jump, he was third best among wide receivers. So I think that was huge for him. Not a guy that's probably going to blow you away athletically, but has some of those results in his back pocket now among a deep wide receiver class.
Me, I got to start with Ladd McConkey of University of Georgia, the wide receiver. When you look at Ladd just in a bubble, you are stunned by the fact that one, he's very fast, even on tape. Two, he has an explosion. What stood out most was the 10 foot 4 inch broad jump. That signifies the ability to run with explosive steps. And McConkey, I don't see his size. I see his size being an issue because, unlike Worthy, who's a similar size, McConkey doesn't give you that feeling of that he's going to be a number one wideout. Although very good, Xavier Leggett from South Carolina. What surprised me most and what impressed me is weighing 222 pounds, still had a 1.54 10-yard split and a 4.39. He's a bigger wide receiver, and he will probably keep that size on and will be able to attempt to beat corners deep and underneath. And he can use his size on those slants, on those dig routes to shield the ball away from corners. Troy Faud, oh my, what am I messing with his name? Fautuno, the offensive lineman from Washington. I liked him. His feet, for his size and ability to move his feet, and he was very good in the position drills. Where I question it is because he's only like 6'3", 6'4". Does that make him a guard, or would teams be okay with that size being at tackle?
Tackle.
Who else did you like?
Yeah, I guess going away from the wide receivers, there was actually a couple other offensive linemen. Amarius Mims, I know he didn't really test in everything, but obviously it is size, I believe 6'7", 6'8"-ish. I can't remember the exact number now, but just I think there was a picture of him on Twitter of just him standing next to some reporters during his interview process, and it's just a guy that I think everyone kind of knows that's been following the draft process that not a lot of experience, a pretty raw guy, but the tools are there. And I think just some of the testing that he did was really impressive to me. I think at his size, I really thought from the running back perspective, there was a few guys to me that I wouldn't say I maybe came in with any preconceived notions either way, but definitely, I think helped their case and didn't hurt it. Jalen Wright from Tennessee is a really intriguing name. I think a little bit smaller, has the speed, but the explosive testing is where he really shined. He had an 11-foot-2 broad jump, which I want to say one of the best in the running back position. I want to say over the last decade, if I remember correctly, seeing that stat. I think another running back to me that. Very, very intriguing going forward. I don't know if he'll be a bona fide starter, maybe more of a committee member in a running back room. But Audric Estime from Notre Dame, he's another one to me that I really enjoyed watching his testing as well.
I like Estime because one, his size definitely gives you that back who can close games and can actually wear out defenses. Where you have a back like Braylon Allen from University of Wisconsin, he didn't run the timings, but in the position drills, whew, his feet, one thing I know is about his feet were for his size, he moved and he moved very, very, very well. Who do you think disappointed at the combine? Like, who was the one person you're like, oh, I expected more?
Yeah, and I think it's tough for me as a big wide receiver guy, and obviously looking at names for the Chiefs potentially if they go first round wide receiver. I wouldn't say he was horrible in every area, but I thought Troy Franklin looked a little bit out of his element. I thought some body control stuff kind of disappointed for me. I think especially a guy that's a little bit leaner frame like that, not as maybe lean as Xavier Worthy, but isn't going to be someone that's going to win with just his size and creating extra space with that. So I thought Troy Franklin was a little bit disappointing to me. I wouldn't say I'm completely moved off of him, but kind of expected a little better result there. And then I think I mentioned this name maybe even last week. Kind of a mixed bag for me for Darius Robinson from Missouri. I still think he's appearing like it's going to be first round pick for sure for him as things stand, but as far as testing goes, I kind of expected maybe a little bit more in certain areas from a guy that can play pretty much any position on the defensive line.
For me, I would go Spencer Rattler, where as I don't like to put a whole lot of stock into 40 times because they're misleading, especially for a quarterback, but for someone who people value as an athletic quarterback with the ability to extend plays, that 4.95 is scary. That's not good. That is bad. And from a tape or from a processing sense, I look at JJ McCarthy, where his 20-yard sprint in the th three cone was fine, but it was the passes, the passing drills, where 1 minute he can throw a dime, next minute ball is over the guy's head, at his feet, to his left, to his right. It's that lack of consistency where everyone will, because he won national championship, a lot of people try to shoehorn him into a first round draft pick. I think he is raw and he needs time to develop. When we look at just the combine in general and we look at everything, what would you change for next year?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me, I would kind of I would kind of make it a point to if guys are gonna compete, I kind of wish that they would do maybe every drill possible. I know it's hard for some guys that are maybe a little more banged up, but I wish you didn't have the choice to only do part of the drills. I think some of them obviously are a little bit a waste of time for what you're really wanting to look for on the field. But I guess for athletic testing, I'd kind of like to see, I guess, a little bit more either complete buy-in, I guess, or completely opt out.
I agree. I think that if you show up and do one of the drills, do all of them. If you don't want to do all of them, don't show up. Like you can show up, but if you just want to get the interview done and leave town, go ahead. That's fine. But don't dawdle because there are guys who didn't get a combine invite. These are the fringe 52nd, 53rd type guys on the roster who would just want their shot that somebody's holding a spot. I'm not saying that the fringe players would make the league or make the team, but why are you clogging up a spot where somebody might get eyes and you never know, somebody might catch fire at a combine and just improve their draft spot? What's coming up on Full Press Chiefs and how can people interact with you on social media?
Yeah, you guys can follow me on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, at Braden Holacek 9, BradenHolecek, and the number 9. Also follow at FPC underscore Chiefs at Full Press NFL. Today I kind of looked at the decisions on a couple pending free agent linebackers for the Chiefs, Drew Tranquil, Willie Gay. Obviously outside of Nick Bolton, those are the guys that kind of seen as the other top linebackers for Kansas City. So it'll be interesting to see what decision they make. I kind of looked at that, and then throughout the week gonna be looking at some other positions, kind of just surveying how Kansas City might go about addressing those in free agency. Running back depth behind Isaiah Pacheco will be one. defensive tackle around hopefully Chris Jones with an extension. And then I think I'll round out the week eventually, kind of just listing about maybe 6 to 10 names that I kind of think are more likely to be Chiefs outside free agent targets. So just kind of be kind of hitting as many positions as I can before legal tampering period officially starts next week.
Listen to business. You can find me at Tequila Biggs, and you can read all my stuff at PC Raiders and FullPressCoverage.com. This has been another episode of the Full Press NFL Podcast.